There is a great controversy through the ages about the Song of Solomon. The earliest, it probably was Solomon who wrote it, but all kinds of modern translators and get all bent out of shape, say it couldn't have been written by him because of the way the certain things happened. But I believe it probably was written by Solomon. If not by Solomon, it was written by one of his scribes. And the most interesting of all, it's an allegory. I'm not going to tell you what other people think. I don't give a flip. It's an allegory that describes the love of God for Israel. And it's an allegory which has to be seen in allegorical, with allegorical eyes. In Hebrew, it's an incredibly beautiful poem with, you know, the right free kind of verse and lilting song. And I can imagine it being played in the temple. The only time it is read as a book is on the intervening Sabbath during the Feast of Passover. The reason it is that it was on Passover that God truly chose Israel to be the beloved, that he chose Israel to be his bride. Do you understand? And he called the bride forth out of the world, and at that point in time, the bride is betrothed. You remember before that, there was never a sin offering anywhere in the Bible. It was never a sin offering until the bride was betrothed. God didn't give a flip about the world until the time that he chose his bride. Now, what we are about in terms of now being, you know, several thousand years from the point in time, 3,500 approximately years from the point in time in which the bride was chosen, which is another interesting deal in the 3.5 days, but I'll tell you about that later, is that we are the true definition of Israel. From the beginning, the law says that Israel is not that which is the circumcision of the flesh, but it's that which is the circumcision of the heart. Now, that's part of the Deuteronomic code. So the bride, the beginning of the bride, because it's out of time, if we believe Hebrews, began with Abel. But we are the final cosmetic in the bride. Still the same bride, but because we are the final cosmetic, the test is 10,000 more times subtle for us than it was when it was against flesh and blood, or when it cost you your life to say you're a believer. And that concept, I mean, to me it proves that we don't have much time left. Because in the first place, you cannot conceive of the test being any more subtle than it is now. And the other reasons we know is because the man, by his own devices, is approaching the glory of God, i.e. he's approaching that juncture where soul and spirit meet by science and all kinds of other things that he's pushing. And God's not going to permit that to happen. He's not going to permit soul to mix with spirit. And so that's another indicator that this love song that we're going to read, we better read it and hear it with understanding. This is our only vocation. The Talmud says that of all the days since the beginning of time, all lumped together do not begin to have the importance of the one day in which Israel was given the Song of Solomon. The Talmud says that if this book is analogous to the temple, the Song of Solomon is the Holy of Holies. Now, the literalists have a real problem with the Song of Solomon. Because, first of all, it talks about breasts like
towers.
Teeth like
sheep. But it doesn't make any sense from our standpoint to the literal mind, because you have to feel the Song of Solomon. You can't read it. Now, there's another scripture there's another verse in the Talmud, in the Sanhedrin portion of the Talmud, which says that if anyone ever considers the Song of Solomon as a secular song, they are cut off from the people. And that, there's a whole lot of, then there's all kinds of descriptions about that. It's like, if you make fun of the Song of Solomon, it's as though you were cut off from the people. If you quote verses from the Song of Solomon without quoting the whole, you're cut off from the people. That's why there's no reference in the New Testament to a verse of the Song of Solomon.
That's interesting.
It had to be seen in its entirety, or it wasn't seen. Now, there's another theory of the ancient Hebrews that said the Song of Solomon was made up of 21 different love songs. And each one of the love songs started, and they are the 21 different stages of love, starting with the attraction and ending up with the consummation of the marriage. And in the spirit, that's exactly what the process reveals. Now, as far as you as a hunk of protoplasm, all you can know is your own soul's longing to be sanctified, and i.e. renewed, so that you can partake of the mystery. So you feel it both individually as the longing for God, but that longing is expressed in the human race in the arena of sex. Love isn't strong enough to say this. Yeah, how can I say it? Love is like
toothless lion.
Love is sensual or sensuous. Or no, I don't want to say that.
It's not urgent enough.
It's not urgent. That's good. Okay, it's not urgent enough. Now, God intends for us to feel, and this is going to sound blasphemous, but he intends for us to feel the same urgency with regard to him that you feel the second or two before having a sexual climax. That's why sex exists. It's its only reason. Okay? Do you have a little bit of understanding about this? The only time it's read is in its entirety is on the intervening Sabbath of the Feast of Passover. Now, that's what we're going to read now.
So it's the song of betrothal to the bride in time, because betrothal is in time. Time, right? And then after time is no more than the consummation.
That's right.
Starts with Abel.
Is this the song? Does this song call the bride out of time and space?
Right.
Is this? You're saying this is just one of 21?
No, it's broken down. It was started out as 21 different. It's a compilation of 21 okay. different views of love that are progressive.
Question. To have that same kind of, like when it said, talk about Sarah and her beauty fettered the heart, you know, to have that same kind of anticipation on this side of eternity, I mean, and if that's just the That's not the consummation. But you know, I would desire to be consumed like that, right, to where every moment.
Right. We have this picture of at the end of time and space of Christ coming in the clouds with millions of angels. Wouldn't it be great if all those angels were singing this song?
Okay, now what I want to do is you. Wherever it's for the bride, only the women will read. Okay? Where it's the chorus, everybody will read. And where it's the groom, I will read. Okay? Now, everybody ready? Mm-hmm. Now, the song, which is Solomon's. Bride,
let him
kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers.
We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine.
Daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me, because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me.
Now stop a minute. Do you understand the idea of being black here? This is extremely important. God only is concerned with white. The bride is looking at herself and saying, but I am black.
Mm-hmm. I just thought it was a native.
No.
Well, it's like the idea that she hasn't been kept inside or something. Right. Like
she hasn't been.
Ladies or something like that.
She hasn't. She's a shepherd's daughter kind of thing. But she hasn't. But it's more than that. It's also the idea of that she sees herself not as worthy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's the harlot that says, I am worthy in terms of this mystery.
Yeah.
Okay. Start in verse 6.
Look not upon me, because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions?
If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold.
We will make thee borders of gold instead of silver.
While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor and vineyards of Gilead.
Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes.
Behold, thou art fair, my beloved, yea, pleasant. Also our bed is green. The beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters of fir. I am the rose of Sharon, lily of the valleys.
As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters.
As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head,
and his right hand doth embrace me.
You understand what it means to be sick of love? Right. Well, no, it's the word in the Hebrew, it means that you are ready to faint. That you are so, whatever happens,
swooning,
that you are about to faint. I charge thee, or I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that you stir not up nor awake my love till he please.
Who's he?
Who's God. The Father. Right. The Father pleases.
And is that awakening to have the marriage?
Well, it's just don't get anxious. It shouldn't be excited by anything that's unnatural. It shouldn't be excited. What they're talking here specifically about is soul power. It has to come forth as the fruit from a tree. It can't be excited by soul power or drugs or, you know, it has to flow from its own as its own strength. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In other words, wait. Okay.
The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills.
Now, do you understand why? Now, that has a new meaning to us now. The mountains and the hills are the residences of the high places. He's walking over them. They no longer have any power.
My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth.
Amen.
The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give it a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away.
Now, stop a minute. He's talking, we'll see in a minute, that he's talking that in the natural, it's a love song between Solomon and the Shulamite. Now, the Shulamite was a daughter of Pharaoh. And so what he's doing, he's calling, come away, from the king's court. Come away from your father's house. Come out of Egypt. That's the meaning. Come out. That's why Passover is so important. Because you cannot be part of the mystery by being mixed with the world. It can't happen. Now this is, and I want you to feel it, what we have just done in Passover is you have been betrothed. And God is no longer Bali, he is now Ishi. He's no longer your chief god among many gods. He is now your husband. And he will care for you as a husband who loveth his wife. For no man ever yet hated or separated himself from his own flesh.
I was listening to you today talking about the Passover, the fact that Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and actually sat in one place, but the fact that it didn't have to take that long. It only had to take from Passover to Tabernacles. And just now I see that the reason is that Passover is the calling, the betrothal, and Tabernacles is the wedding.
Amen. Okay.
A short engagement.
Verse 14.
O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely.
Okay. See and hear. See and hear. That's all. From now on, that's our only vocation. To see and to hear. And if you seek that, and all needful things are made unto you. With no effort on your part. Everything else is a lie. Everything else is a deception. Everything else is subject to time. You've got to feel this or you will not understand. Amen?
Amen.
Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a robe or a young hart among the mountains of Beaver. By night on my bed I sought him.
Now wait a minute. The mountains of Beathar, it's the mountains of division. In other words, you no longer are carnal. You don't see strife and division anymore. You see only him. And because he is on it, he's walking on those, therefore you see him, therefore you don't see the divisions. Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, continue. Chapter 3, verse 1.
By night on my bed I sought him, whom my soul loved. I sought him, but I found him not.
Now stop a minute. This is a female, madly in love, and she's seeking him on her bed by night. She's not thinking about him, she's masturbating, thinking about him. This is the meaning of masturbation. That's why you have been given the ability to get yourself off. You understand? So that you can see, it's part of the process of the renewal of your mind, that you would see and know and feel and be excited by the urgency. Now, probably if anybody's listening to this tape, they'll probably kill me over that one, but shut up, John.
Well, it is a little bit radical. I don't think some of your more conservative elements buy it.
You know, if Christ is all and in all, he has to be in there somewhere when it comes to masturbation.
Well, of course he is. But this is the reason for masturbation. This is the, I mean... God could have made it. God could have not given you a right hand.
Or a left hand.
Or a left hand. Or a foot to sit on. Or whatever else women do. Or a leg to cross and bounce up and down. Or
jacuzzis.
Or jacuzzis.
Water picks.
Water picks. No, wait a minute. Okay. We're stopping now.
This is
stuff. You are given the ability and the propensity to masturbate so that you would be in with this woman who is lying on her bed without her betrothed, but thinking only of him.
I don't know if this is an argument, but I do have a question how this relates to chapter 2, verse 7.
You didn't choose to get excited. You didn't choose to have a need for a hormonal release. You're not excited. You're not exercising some soul power to call forth by some group therapy. And this is against the religious, remember, God's function in time and space is to renew your mind so that every element of the thing that happens within your mind is short-circuited by the revelation of Christ. It's not to get together as a group and figure out liturgies to increase soul power and calling, you know, doing all that crap. It's that you would be renewed individually as a member of the body of Christ, and as each of us are renewed, then we bring forth the end.
Yeah.
piece? Okay. Verse 3.
I think we need to stop here for a second because I didn't fully understand Harry's question. I didn't fully understand your answer.
I'm saying that all of it reveals this mystery of, listen.
Yeah, okay.
By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not.
It's like revelation. This is almost like revelation is like that.
Amen.
Because it's not the marriage.
I've just seen the religious mind looks at this and can only be offended by your statement of masturbation and the bride and all that. But anybody in love knows that this is what happens. Take the religious thinking out, and when love is there, or desire is there.
Amen.
There it is. Like it or not, that's what we're made up to be.
Okay.
Wait a minute. In 2:7, where you're talking about soul power, is that... I'm trying to think of how that relates in 6.
Soul power, and what I'm talking about soul power, is the idea that we are going to get together... And by a liturgical process, we are going to bring down the presence of God. And so that, you know, you've all been to those kind of churches where you're excited and okay now, and all the thing about, you know, Israel inhabits the praise, I mean, God inhabits the praises of Israel, so now let's praise him. So he'll come and inhabit us.
And materialize.
Or, you know, the whole process of religion... Fundamentally, when it gets into large groups, is the religion of soul power to speed the process.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm still confused because I've gotten.
Okay. Listen. We will be here. Here's what the chorus says. We will be glad and rejoice in. No, wait a minute. 2:7. Where are we?
It's right there.
Yeah. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem. Okay. Who are the daughters of Jerusalem? Huh? The people.
Because this is taking place in Jerusalem.
Right. So I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, and that's another whole, I'm not going to get into that, that you stir not up nor awake my love until he pleases. Okay. Now, all I'm saying is that stirring up by the corporate group, the daughters of Jerusalem, which could easily be the harlot of Babylon, that you stir not that up by the power of the soul.
Okay, I see the difference between...
You know, tell the bride to wake up and let's get this thing going, let's get you two together.
Wait a minute.
When I first asked the question, you said something about you didn't choose to feel the way you do.
Mm-hmm.
So then according to what you just said, this... young girl alone at night on her bed longing for her betrothed is not choosing to feel that way. She hasn't gotten 5 friends together and said, let's do this.
Right.
She isn't stirring it up.
Right.
She's in love. I see that.
Well, what I was thinking.
Well, I guess in relationship to what Harry said earlier, then it's to sit, is it again to sit and just wait on him whenever you feel, even though not in you're in a group?
No, I'm saying that if what I'm all I'm forget any okay. Don't ever hear this anything if you've ever heard something I've said as something to do, then you've heard it wrong. I guarantee you that, and I'll say that till hell freezes over. Even though all of you hear something I say and say think you should do it, I'm telling you that happens. Amen. The reason that masturbation exists is because it's the instrument by which your mind can be renewed in that arena as the bride lying in bed alone, longing and waiting for her husband. There's nothing to do. There's no part of you that's decided to be like you. There's no part of you that decided to like certain things in sexuality. There's no part of you that decided that I'll pick on Harry. Saddle shoes turn him on. or I'll pick on me, that black nylons and a garter belt and high heels turn me on. There's no part of me that decided that would turn me on. You understand? There's no part of anything that you are sexually that you decided to be. Okay, now stop a minute. Don't interrupt me. All I'm saying to you is that all of it is a pollution, if you will. It's a high place drama that is being enacted until the temple is fully dedicated. And when the temple is fully dedicated, then masturbation, even masturbation, which most of you feel terribly guilty about, is transformed to be the moment or the instrument by which your longing for this completion is expressed.
Okay.
Okay, let's go on.
Well, it's there seems like there's a difference between...
Okay. I understand. Here's the problem. And I, the predicate of it was, I said it at the start. You are forbidden to quote the Song of Solomon by piecemeal. You have to look at it in total. You're trying to understand a piece of it.
Yeah, this is a time when we should wait for our questions till we see the whole thing.
Yeah, well, let's continue. Okay, the bride is now reading, and we're going.
Verse
can
two.
You can you continue, darling?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to read verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 1. Everybody, all the female types, all the ones that never masturbate, read.
No,
you didn't hear. I said all the women that never masturbate, read.
Nobody's
going to end up reading.
Okay, now all the rest of you can join in. All of the honest ones can join in now.
By night on my bed, I saw him whom my soul loveth. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets. In the broad ways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I saw him, but I found him not. The watchman that I go about the city found me, to whom I said, Saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them. But I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me.
Amen. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that you stir not up nor awake my love till he pleases.
Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of a merchant? Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 80 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh, because of fear in the night. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. He made the pillars thereof of silver, the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it of purple, the midst thereof being paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals. And in the day of
heart. Okay. Now they've identified the groom, in this case, as King Solomon, who is the type of Christ. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats. we got to change that one.
No.
You're going to be in trouble.
When you see it, it'll be beautiful, Ollie.
Yeah, you got to see the whole thing.
Yeah.
Surely temple.
Be kind of like, well, that's easy to understand, though, because it's the way a flock of goats looks when you're looking at Mount Gilead from afar. They sparkle and shine. They're perfectly white on the side of the mountain.
That appear from Mount Gilead. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which come up from the washing, whereof every one bear twins, and none is barren among them. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet. Thy speech is comely.
Can you have contractions on the tail?
Thy temples are like a piece of pomegranate within thy locks.
Amen.
Thy neck is like the Tower of David, builded for an armory, whereon there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies, until the day break and the shadows flee away. I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse, with me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Amana, from the top of Shinar and Hermon, from the lion's dens and from the mountains of the leopards. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse! How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices! Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, camphor and spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices, a fountain of garden, a well of living waters. And streams from Lebanon.
Wait, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits.
Now that isn't an imagery. We're approaching X-rated.
Well, I've read this before, and particularly verse 16, the one we just read. It always has seemed X-rated, but it doesn't tonight. And the reason it doesn't tonight is I've been thinking about into the tent of my mother's chamber and that, and I've been thinking about Rebecca and Isaac going into his mother's tent. Yeah, this is X-rated if you're outside the tent peeping under the flap and watching somebody else, but it's not X-rated if you're
a participant.
If you're
okay. I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spices. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink. Yea, drink abundantly, O beloved.
I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. My head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat, how shall I put it on? I have washed my feet, how shall I defile them? My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, my bowels removed from him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh. And my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I saw him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love.
What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved, that thou dost so charge us?
My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is of the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with a beryl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem.
Whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside, that we may seek him with thee?
My beloved is gone down into his garden, to the beds of spices, to feed in the gardens, and to gather lilies. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies.
Thou art beautiful, O my love, as Tirzah, comely as Jerusalem, terrible as an army with banners. Turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Gilead. Thy teeth are as a flock of sheep which go up from the washing, whereof every one of them beareth twins, and there is not one barren among them. As a piece of pomegranate are thy temples within thy locks. There are 70 queens and 40 concubines and virgins without number. My dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. The daughters saw her and blessed her, yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the noon, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and glorious as an army with banners? I went down into the garden of nuts to see the fruits of the valley, and to see whether the vine flourished and the pomegranates budded. Or ever I was aware, my soul made me like the chariots of
Amminadab.
Return, O Shulamite. Return, that we may look upon thee.
What will you see in the Shulamite? As it were the company of two armies. How beautiful are thy feet with shoes, O prince's daughter. The joints of thy thighs are like jewels, the work of the hands of a cunning workman. Thy navel is like a round goblet, which wanteth not liquor. Thy belly is like a heap of wheat set about with lilies. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins. Thy neck is as a tower of ivory, thine eyes like the fish pools in Heshbon, by the gate of Bath-Rabbin. Thy nose is as the tower of Lebanon, which looketh toward Damascus. Thine head upon thee is like Carmel, and the hair of thine head like purple. The king is held in the galleries. How fair and how pleasant art thou, O love, for delights! This thy stature is like to a palm tree, and thy breast to clusters of grapes. I said, I will go up to the palm tree, I will take hold of the boughs thereof. Now also thy breast shall be as clusters of the vine, and the smell of thy nose like apples, and the roof of thy mouth like the best wine.
He goeth down sweetly from my beloved, causing the lips of those that are asleep to speak. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me.
Amen.
Come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge in the villages. Let us get up early to the vineyards. Let us see if the vine flourish, whether the tender grape appear, and the pomegranates bud forth. Then there will I give thee my loves. The mandrakes give a smell, and at our gates are all manner of pleasant fruits, new and old, which I have laid up for thee, O my God. Jacob, thou warnest my brother, that sucked the breasts of my mother. When I should find thee without, I would kiss thee, yea, I should not be despised. I would leave thee and bring thee into my mother's house, who would instruct me. I would cause thee to drink the spiced wine of the juice of my pomegranate. His left hand should be under my head, and his right hand should embrace me.
I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that you stir not up nor awake my love until he please.
Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved?
I raised thee up under the apple tree. There thy mother brought thee forth. There she brought thee forth that bare thee. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. For love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are as coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, he would utterly be contemned.
We have no sister, she hath no breasts. What shall we do for our sister in the day when she shall be spoken for? If she be a wall, we will build upon her a palace of silver. And if she be a door, we will close her with boards of cedar.
I am a wall, and my breasts are like towers. Then I was eyeing his eyes as one that found favor. Solomon had a vineyard at
He let out the vineyard and the keepers.
Every one with the fruit thereof was to bring 1,000 pieces of silver. And my vineyard which is mine is before me. Thou, O Solomon, must have 1,000, and those that keep the fruit thereof 200.
Thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions hearken to thy voice. Cause me to hear it.
Make haste, my beloved. And be thou like to a roe, or to a young hart upon the mountains of spices.
Okay. I want to go to Revelation real quick. Chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And it says that she is a wall and she is a tower and all that. Mm-hmm. That's the New Jerusalem. And whether or not we can see it, you are the jewels and the things that make up that New Jerusalem. Okay? Now, there's all kinds of other stuff in here that we haven't talked about, but many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. In the scriptures, waters always refer to the human race. And that's why in Revelation it says, and there was no more sea, because the human race was gone. And the human race cannot overcome this love, no matter how much it tries.
The thing that is blowing me away was the idea that as Christ was literally in the grave, all the Israelites were doing this.
Amen.
And that, you know, it's like he knew that.
Amen.
As he was in the pit.
The one that really grabs me is Christ saying, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And here in 5:2 is the same exact thing. It's my beloved at the door and knocks.
Amen. There's a whole bunch. I mean, there's a guy, a famous guy, and I can't remember his name right now, Lipson was a 3rd or 4th century Christian, that all he did, he wrote something like, I mean, the only thing he ever did was give sermons about the Song of Solomon. That's the only thing he preached on. And he got into the deepness of all these illusions that we don't, that don't make any sense to us because they're, well, first of all, they're in English.
I was just saying a type of how when a man loves a woman or a woman loves a man, every part of them turns the other one on, and they can go from head to toe, and each part has attraction. And in the spirit, God doesn't see the flesh, and breasts don't turn him on, but in the spirit, there's that same attraction. And I was seeing him as if he were looking at this body, and what about the spirit, the attractiveness of this bride, and how there are certain things about us that just turn him on, that really cause
all the different members.
Yeah, that are represented by
attractive.
Different. Yeah.
Here, reading this tonight and hearing this discourse, this intercourse between the bride and the groom, and thinking about this being the Holy of Holies, and thinking about the mercy seat is where God said, "I will commune with you." Amen. This is the song. This is what
on the mercy seat. Well, the interesting thing about this is that, first of all, recognize that it was on Passover when Israel was betrothed to God. And it was on Passover that he called Israel out from the world. Israel couldn't stay in the world anymore. And the jealousy that he talks about in the last chapter, the thing that God is more jealous than ever, than anything over, is idolatry. And the idols that you still cling to, hopefully, are crumbling as you see something better. But again, if you see yourself as this bride, as a member of, now you are the body of Christ, the body belonging to Christ, and members in particular, and you have but one vocation and one avocation, and that's to work or move singularly towards the consummation of the wedding. And nothing in your life, whether it's internal in the secret places of your chambers, of your imagery, or whether it's external, can have anything, there's nothing there that isn't part of this process. There's nothing there that isn't supposed to be there. Now it's moving and getting narrower and narrower. But the narrower it gets, the bigger the large place on the other side of that narrow is huge. Because it includes and encompasses all of time.
And the thing you just said about there's nothing there that shouldn't be there, that thing about the groom is at the door knocking, and the bride, this is the bride, but her response to the knock is her heart sinks within herself, and she says, "Well, I've taken off my coat, and I've washed my feet, I can't come to the door." And when she finally does come to the door, he's gone.
Or was that him talking?
But it's not a mistake.
I don't know, but I think we've...
Yeah, that's what she said.
Okay. How, anybody else have anything?
I was wondering what my sister, my spouse, heard that before, but I'm not sure what it means.
Because that's what happened on Pentecost. We are of the seed of Christ, the same seed, so we are a sister. But we are his bride.
Sister doesn't like a woman.
Yeah, it does.
Okay, never mind.
No, that's what it is. My sister, my spouse, is the bride, is the woman. It's just like
both those relationships are present.
Both those relationships are present. I mean, it's real.
Yeah, I can say something about being brothers. Is when I was growing up, I had a close relationship with my sister. It was kind of like I wanted my wife was like my sister. So.
I guess I'm thinking of the eldest. He's our eldest. I thought somewhere says eldest brothers.
Yeah, but think of the thousands of look. The analogies start out. Everything in here is an allegory. It starts out as it's shepherd and sheep, then it's king and subjects, and it's brother and sister, it's sister. But the end result, all of them, the vineyard and the vines. I mean, there's 100 and wheat, and they all point towards the one culmination: my sister, my spouse. Don't take one and run with it until you see its finality. Amen? So take it, big guy.
Pass over.